It's wonderful to lead as a team, have the guys around us giving direction and guidance as to where the Lord wants to take us. And really felt like, and not Kobus's fault at all, but felt like the first couple of songs, we're just going through the motions. And then Kobus picked up something in the spirit, and he just started singing in the spirit there. And I really feel God now. I feel like the Lord's here, man. And I feel He really is drawing us to Him. Sorry, I thought this would be a nice teaching this morning, but I feel it's a key moment in the life of this congregation. About 2 weeks ago, I asked the comm leaders to ask in their communities, you know, who's witnessed, who's shared the gospel in the last while, and to send me the testimonies of that. And nobody's sent anything. People's other things happened, but nothing of sharing the gospel. And I realized there's something wrong then. Maybe your community didn't tell you, I don't know, whatever. But I do feel it's something that the Lord wants us, and it's not just to chastise us, you know, and say, bad people, you're not sharing the gospel. But I feel that the Lord wants to do something about it Himself this morning. And it's going to be a very simple message. Nothing complicated about it at all. It's probably back to basics in a way. But it's what the early church lived on. It's what the early church revived on. And you see in Acts 2:42, we love to mention Acts 2:42 to 48 and how the church lived and how amazing the lifestyle was amongst them. They devoted themselves to apostolic teaching and prayer and breaking of bread and meeting each other's homes. And you read that part, but you actually, there's a whole section before that which caused them to live like that. And I think we're doing fairly well on that area. Could do better, but that's not the point this morning. It's what God did amongst them and what empowered them. And I think, you know, there's a scripture that says that you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power. We always refer that to the big denominational churches worldwide. You know, they've got all the fancy robes and they go through all these rituals and we would say, look at them. Yeah, they've got a form of godliness, but no power. And we've got the power. And then I sort of questioned that. Do we really have the power? What will be evidence of that? That there's power amongst us and that, and I think God's people have been, not fully aware of the power that lies within them. I'd love just two people to come in, Junior and Jay, just to come and share quickly. Just keep it short, obviously. I don't want you guys going on too long, please. Just in a nutshell. Maybe Jay, you go first, yeah. You've been more humble there.
Sure. Two words. Very often God speaks to me in like short words or short phrases, and this two words that I've got is be real. I want to speak to you quickly about a dragonfly and a fish. A few days ago, I had an unscheduled delivery of some electronic parts, and I arrived with a client, and I got there, and I see this fancy house and fancy cars, and I could see that he was really wealthy. And he was into miniature car racing, his eyes just lit up. Yeah, his eyes just lit up as he began to share about this newfound hobby. And in the conversation, I discovered that he was an engineer and very close to retirement. And he showed me around, you know, and he passionately began to explain the sport. And during this, I felt the Lord prompt me to ask him, do you know the Lord? And it's happened a few times. And as I waited, like, for an opportune moment, his wife then joined in with two grandkids, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm going to do this now, you know. And then a few minutes later, you know, I just kept on feeling that. And then I asked him, like, you know, while his wife was there, I said, do you know the Lord? And he sort of stopped dead in his tracks, you know. And, and he began to share that he was actually a born-again Christian. He's been to many churches. There was a bit of name-dropping of people that he knew but he's not planted in a church, and interesting enough, nowhere in that did he mention the name Jesus. Nowhere. And it's baffled me. I didn't hear anything about salvation or anything about intimacy. It just seems that he had succumbed to the deadly grasp of religion. And I just felt, A few years ago, God convicted me as well about, you know, being real. And I thought I was, you know, serving at church and doing a whole lot of stuff. But I ended up in kind of deviating into a bit of religion. And God just reminded me, like, I just felt like it's a picture of a dragonfly that sits on the film of water and then a fish. I felt like I was the dragonfly. And God doesn't want us to be dragonflies just floating around. And He wants us to be the fish that's experiencing His intimacy. And, yeah, you know, and yeah, just an encouragement. So I encouraged him and his wife, and his wife even said to him, you know, she's been telling him to, you know, slot into a church. I invited him here, and I said, you know, please come through. We do amazing cappuccino, so hopefully he joins. Yeah, but yeah, just as an encouragement to, you know, when God speaks, encouragement to really, you know, be obedient and follow His heart through it, you know. And yeah, thank you.
So I didn't have any paperwork prepared. I just felt to let the Lord do whatever He needs to do. And on that note, I just want to say that nothing of this, what I'm saying, is got anything to do with me, actually. All the glory to God, and this is a testimony of what God can do. In this week, I was going through the motions of work and just doing what I needed to do on that day as it was scheduled. And if something didn't go to schedule, I got a bit frustrated. I rocked up to an inspection that I needed to do at an older couple's house, and I walked into the property as she opened the gate for me. I was 5 minutes before the time there, as I always try to be. And I thought, I'm doing this good. And the next moment, she just started almost confessing to me, listen, please excuse the older man in this other room. He's not drunk. He's actually bipolar, and he's sleeping. And I thought to myself, wow, this is like almost oversharing for a moment. And I thought, okay, well, let me go on with my work. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to do anything else. I'm here to do my work, and that's it. I go through the house. I start my inspection from the top to the end, do everything I need to do. And at the end, I want to just let the lady know, listen, I'm on my way out. I am done. Thank you very much for your time. And I call her in the passageway. And almost to stay clear of this older man in the other room. And she says, no, please come in. And I go into the room, and he's half asleep and half in a daze. And she says, okay, please share us your findings with us that you found in your inspection. And in that moment, I just felt a prompting from the Lord to actually pray for them and pray for this man. And first I thought, oh, no, I can't. I'm here to do my work. I just want to finish. And the Lord keep tugging at my heart. And I asked Him if I could pray for him. And immediately He confessed to me, look, I'm a Christian. You don't have to pray for me. I'm all right. I've got this. I'm a Christian man. And I also felt like, but there's more. There's more to this. And I just started praying for them. And as I prayed, I felt like the Lord prompted me to do the sinner's prayer with him, and both of them actually did the sinner's prayer with me, and whether there was any depth into the prayer is not up to me, but in that moment, I felt to steer to the lady, and the Lord actually gave me 3 words of wisdom for her, and it was spot on. And as I shared these words with her, she... only thing she could say was, after I started oiling her hands and stuff, she just said, "Luister, ek is 'n ingeet tannie, hoor, jy kan nie vir my hierdie goed doen nie." And then I just said, "Listen, this is not me. This is God." And at the end of the whole thing, I stood back and she looked at me and she looked so much lighter, so much less heavy laden than she was when I walked into the property. During the week, I also got testimony from her that the older man was sleeping much better. He had a better recovery. He is on the road to recovery. I could actually maybe connect them with a church in Mossel Bay, Josh Jen in Mossel Bay, some people in Mossel Bay. They're moving to Dana Bay. We come from Mossel Bay. So yeah, it's just amazing how the Lord's timing is perfect. And on that note, Russ, if I could just share something that happened just now. This morning I woke up on time. I was like perfectly on time. We have to be here earlier. And as I woke up, I remembered I forgot to charge the tablets for the next gen or the Josh Gen kids sign in. And I thought to myself, wow, Junior, this is like the biggest red stop street you can do in serving in the church. And I got here playing oblivious to myself and my own faults. And for a moment I thought, how is this going to look on me? This is like Dai would sometimes say, a black dot against my name. This is like me taking the feather out of my hat. And now, as we were in worship, I just realized it's not about us. I'm not here trying to make the tablets ready for me to look good as the newest member to the core group. It's not about me. I didn't for one moment think what this could mean to the detrimental effect of a message being brought to a kid in there, to a facilitator worrying about an uncharged tablet. I served with the wrong heart. So, yeah, I try to make about me. And, yeah, this is almost like a public repentance about that as well. So, praise God.
You're forgiven. I was so encouraged. I was in Ed's Common Wednesday night and just hearing these two guys sharing that. And, you know, it's great to say that God fixed your car and got a job and God came through. But for me, the church has got a purpose. And there's always three legs to the church. Worship God, love people, love God, love people, and tell the good news about Jesus to the lost world. The first two we can do in eternity. We can do that forever. Love each other, love God. But we've only got one opportunity to really bring the gospel and the good news. And you're just called to deliver it. You don't have to get anybody saved. That's God's job, to convict of their hearts and bring and draw them, lift the veil, reveal himself to them. So I really felt that that there's something that the Lord wants to speak to us about this morning in terms of being ready in season, out of season, and then the feet of shod with the good news. You know, your feet have got good news on them, and wherever you go, you can take good news. I was buying a machine about a week or so ago, and the guy there, straight away, I'm starting to tell him about Jesus and speak about Jesus to him. You know, Jenny said, why are you so long? I don't know. I was telling him something about the Lord, you know. And I don't know about you, but I come alive in those times. I just realized this is what it's about, to tell someone about Jesus. You know, something sparks even in you as you start sharing it. And I'm trusting that God will break something over us this morning as a people. That next time I ask, you know, who's shared the good news this last week? There'll be a queue of people up here. I know I'm risking even doing this, because if it doesn't happen, I'm look stupid as a leader. But I'm prepared to risk my reputation. What is it? Anyhow, for the sake of the kingdom. I'm not here to make myself look good. I'm here to make him look good. And leadership is influence. I've got to influence you towards the truth of God's word and towards God himself. That's my calling, my function. And us as leaders, to influence you towards God. That's all it is. If we can achieve that, as Colossians 1, 28, 29 says, we've got to present you to God one day. And one of the key areas is this, of a people who are just bursting forward with the salt and light of what Jesus has done in their lives and testifying, I know God. You know, people will try and argue with you. They'll try and outfox you. And you can't even go down that road, because you can't argue people into the kingdom. It's the power of God. It's the word of your testimony of how God touched your life. Man, the arguments you making are good, but you know what? God came and changed my life. I know him now. He's real. He's more real than the sun in the sky. That's the God that I know. Could you put up for me Acts 1:1-9? In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to those men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They still had a false understanding of what it's all about. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power. I want you to focus on that one word, power. That's what I believe God wants to almost reveal and unleash in amongst us this morning. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. God saying to us this morning, you will be my witnesses in Durbanville, in South Africa, and to the world. That is what, as the power of God comes upon you. So here's a question. Are you filled with the power of God? Everyone will say, yeah, yeah, yeah. But then what evidence is there of that? What evidence? He said, you will receive power if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I didn't know anything about baptism in the Holy Spirit, I didn't know what that meant. I came from a very unchurched background because I was raw to the whole world of Christianity. And I just went to this one meeting, and they were praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what that was. I didn't have a clue. And they laid hands on me, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was on fire. The whole room lit up. I felt this warm honey flowing over my body. Everywhere I went after that, I was changed. Everywhere I went after that, I just, do you know God? I was just powering. I'd been born again. I was excited and I was changed. But when the Holy Spirit came on me, and we seem to see in the New Testament, it was often a separate experience to being born again. We know the scriptures where the apostles came to people and said, have you received the baptism? They said, the only baptism we received is of John, of repentance. He said, no, there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed for them and they were filled and they spoke in tongues. Now, tongues is not the only evidence. It is an evidence that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we don't actually desire to speak in tongues so much as we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the tongue is almost like a natural consequence speaking in other languages. I started speaking other languages. I didn't know what it was. It was foreign to me. I didn't have to be educated about it. It just started coming out of me. I couldn't stop speaking in this language. And I still speak in it. But it's an overflow of what God did in empowering me by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not living lives powered by the Holy Spirit, we've got to stop the lorry right now this morning and say, God, I want to change. I want to repent, Lord. You've got to repent, folks. Repentance means, Lord, I'm leading a powerless life, really, if I'm honest. I haven't witnessed to anyone in 6 months. I haven't told anyone about Jesus in 6 months. Now, I do want you to feel guilty. Now, I do. It's so unpopular right now. So unpopular to say something like that. I want you to feel guilty for a good reason, though. Not to be condemned, not for the devil to come and ride on that guilt. But I want you to feel convicted in your heart. Maybe I used the wrong word, guilty. I want you to feel convicted this morning. Because God convicts. He speaks into your heart. He says, my boy, my girl, my son, my daughter, I love you, but there's lots of ifs and buts in the Bible. Lots. Lots. And God wants to come and empower us this morning for his glory. He wants to come and work in you and change you to become more like him. The disciples were turned upside down from being a bunch of cowards and denying and renouncing Jesus and running and they would suddenly were prepared to die for him in terrible ways. All the apostles, 11 out of 12, were killed horrifically. Whereas before they were cowards and denounced and didn't want to know this Jesus. And suddenly they were brave, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and spreading what God had told them to do about all over the world, the known world at that time. I really feel God wants to empower us this morning. Normally I'd come with an expectation that God's going to do something. I have no expectation. Because I can't manufacture this. I can't conjure it up. It can't be through me that you get it. You've got to get it from him direct. It's a direct. You know, we look to man. Okay, where's your anointing? Let your anointing flow and touch us. No, no, no. He's the anointed one. He's God, not me. He wants to come and touch you this morning. He wants to empower you this morning. He longs to, Bible says he gives good gifts to us. He gives good gifts to us. Let's read some more of God's word so you can get a full understanding. Let's turn to Acts 2, 1 to 4. And we know, you guys know these scriptures. But if they're not resonating in you, they're not If you're not seeing them working out in your life, then you've got to stop the lorry today. Say, God, there's something wrong. And I can't just pretend and go on tomorrow. Just no, man, today is the day that we've got to sort our hearts out before God. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I remember going to a place, I'm sorry, we mentioned the story before, but this place called KwaZizabantu up in Natal, up the north coast of Natal, KwaZulu-Natal now. But in those days, they encountered a young lady. So they brought a young lady to them for prayer. And now I've lived amongst Zulu folk, and they believe in a lot of things which are not biblical, a lot. And they allow a lot of demonic into the monks them. And they know the spirit world better than often Western type people would know the spirit world. They understand it very well. And this young girl was demon-possessed, to put it mildly. She was tied up with Afrikaans, used blow drops, which is like a heavy-duty wire. And they tried praying for her, as according to the word, and nothing happened. And I said to God, but why are we so powerless? You know, we see in the Bible we should be able to cast out demons, and there's like zero power here. So they then sat down and went into, had a upper room experience where they got into this room and cried out to God and said, Lord, what's going on here? And there's actually a book called God Amongst the Zulus written about this experience. And they suddenly experienced that, a fire and wind blowing through them. And from that day on, they had incredible power to drive out the demons, see the power of God. When I was there, there were thousands of people just could arrive there. And they said, just go find a place to sleep. You're welcome to sleep and stay here. And they have, every day, they have something like 3 meetings in their chapel. They've got interpreters in 5 different languages. Every day they meet and they're preaching the word of God, and multimillionaire guys come there and just lay down their lives to serve there. It's quite an extraordinary place, to put it mildly. But they would have a bowl of potatoes, is all they had. And they would just pray over it, and the potatoes just keep coming out the bowl, and 1,000 people would queue up for food, you know. People would lie to the Holy Spirit like Ananias and Sapphira moment. And a lady would stand at the altar in white and saying, I'm a virgin. And she's not. And she would drop down dead at the altar. I mean, is this stuff you want to hear? Power of God, folks. It's in the Bible. And Ananias and Sapphira, all they did was lie. They sold some property. Durbanville, we need to raise money. Now I can give this amount. You might sell something and bring it and say, you know what? I only got this amount for it. And you just kept a little bit back for yourself. And that's what they did. They were selling fields and giving money to the apostles, laying it at their feet for them to distribute and use how they saw fit amongst the people. And they just told a little lie. How many lies have you told of late, you know? And we're just living in an amazing period where God is not touching us like they were touched and experienced the power of God. But we should be desperate, not for people to die, but, you know, people broke bread with the wrong hearts. 1 Corinthians 11. And the Bible says, Paul said, you know, some of you died because you've broken bread. You've done communion with the wrong heart. I mean, like, wow. Imagine it's like, put up a notice there, danger. It is dangerous to partake of these emblems. Warning to your health. That would be required today in health and safety. But this is a God. We're not looking for people to die, folks, but they experience the other side of God's power of seeing the world turned upside down. So I want you to feel bad in a sense. I want you to feel convicted by God this morning. I don't want to soften the blow. If God is putting his finger and say, you know what? You're not salt and light. No one even knows you're a Christian at work. You're too scared because then they'll judge you and they'll stand against you. You're too scared to speak about me. I'm praying this morning that God will break that fear over us. We could be going into very perilous times now. We could be. I was reading about Spurgeon in the 1800s, about 1850, there had a cholera outbreak in London where people were just dying like flies. And he stopped preaching and said, I've got to go amongst the people now. And he did, and he didn't die. Guys were dying around him like crazy. In the early 1900s, John G. Lake came to South Africa, a Canadian pastor. And we had the bubonic plague in South Africa. People were dying. And they said, John G. Lake, you can't go in there and pray for me. You're going to get this and you're going to die as well. He said, put the germs on my hand. And they watched under a microscope as the germs died on his hand. Folks, we serve a powerful God. Powerful God. But physical healing, that's second in the queue compared to people being born again. We don't want people going to hell with healthy bodies. Rather go into eternity with a bit of a buckled and bent body. He's here amongst us in a wheelchair. Everyone wants to pray for it to come out of the wheelchair. I know that. I have. It's in my heart burning. But she said once, I'd rather be in a wheelchair and know Jesus than be healthy body and not know Jesus. She's my hero in the faith. Folks, we serve a powerful, powerful God. Powerful. I think we've lost sight of that. I think our focus has gone into miracles and healings. And we talk about the power of God. That's not, Jesus came and he did that stuff to establish his messiahship, who he was. We see in the Bible they did do some healings. There were times when people were healed. But there were other times when Paul said, I left that guy sick behind with, you know, he almost died. He didn't say, I prayed for him, he got healed. There was times when Peter's shadow had just fallen, people would get healed. We see a mixture of incredible miracles and power, and then other times not. You know, Paul, Timothy, take some wine for your many stomach problems. He didn't say, get the elders to pray, which James says you should do. So we're walking, we're trying to find God's truth in all these things, but the most fundamental truth that we need to know is that people need to be born again of the Spirit and come to know God. Imagine the plague does break out in the times, in the cholera outbreak in England when Spurgeon was ministering. People who'd laughed and mocked God were suddenly powering into God. Boy, where's this? Tell me about God. You know, sometimes God will use it to get people's attention because he doesn't care if they go into eternity with broken bodies, as long as they get into eternity. Do you think there's people in eternity right now wishing that their foot was healed, 2,000 years ago, so they have a bit of a better life here for the 30 years they lived on this world, or they're just worshiping God for thousands of years, thankful that they know him and they're whole in their spirit and they know they're born again. So what's the point of this morning? The point is we've got to acknowledge that we are lacking in power. We are. Not, and God is not the problem. We are the problem. We are not, I don't know even how to describe where we're at sometimes. I examine my own heart. Lord, how am I doing? Where am I at? I think I'm pretty desperate to see people saved. Jenny does say, she lives with me, she says I'm the most evangelical person she knows. But, and I'm not an evangelist, folks. I'm not. I'm like the weakest gift that I've got. I'm not an evangelist. But I know this. I know God. I cannot go into eternity just having a nice life and not telling people about Jesus. And some of you need to risk. You may even lose your jobs. Are you prepared for that? That someone may come to know Jesus. Are you so worried about your reputation at work more than that person going into hell for all eternity? We've got to risk it. Don't not do your job. I'm not saying that. Do your job well, but you've got to be bold in speaking the truth to people. You've got to find the. This morning, I'm trusting. Well, it's up to God. I'm just the messenger. What he wants to do. Wow, I'm running out of serious time here. Can we go to Acts 2:29-41? I've got a lot of word because the word must speak to us, not some bloke standing up front. I'm just trying to convey what God says. Acts 2:29-41. Brothers, this is after the Holy Spirit's been poured out and Peter's talking to a whole crowd of people, of Jews. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not descend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, I let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I'm expecting for that, for God to pour out his Spirit, for people to come to know him. Will there be revival in the last days? Yes and no. Because the Bible does tell us to be a great falling away, even in the church. We're seeing a great falling away in the church at the moment. People who are prominent in leadership, who are renouncing Christ, getting divorced. It's shocking. People falling away, churches going light in the truth of what God says we must hold as truth. We're seeing that all around. We are seriously seeing and living in perilous times, as Peter says here. It's a corrupt generation where truth is not truth anymore. Feelings are truth. Feelings trump truth. We're living in a post-truth generation. So as the body of Christ, I believe there's going to be a burning, powerful, hot bunch of people who are thriving in God in the end times. As much as the world is spinning out of control, I believe the church who adheres to the absolute full biblical truth of God and understand the power of their God, I believe that church will be burning in these end days. I don't believe we'll be cowering in a corner. All the churches we've seen worldwide who've been persecuted, man, they have burned for God, burned for him. When the Chinese guy, I forget his name now, the God Heavenly Man book years ago, it was quite popular, and he went to America, and they said, man, we're praying for you. He said, no, I'm praying for you guys. You're so weak as a church. You got money, but your church is not air-conditioned, if it's not fancy worship. They drift around looking for churches. We know that this is all we've got. We're desperate for God, and we're on fire for him. You guys have got a problem. I worry about you. And so it's a challenge that we have as the Western type church, is that are we burning for God in these times that we're living in right now? Are things like coronavirus is there to get our attention? It's caused enough panic, isn't it? It's causing, maybe it's good, maybe, I don't know. I read this story about the doctor who discovered a Chinese doctor. He's a Christian and he died. And he said, I don't want to die, but if it means my wife is pregnant and children, and who's going to pay the bond? I'm leaving my wife behind. And he said, I don't want to die. But if I can help people to find the Lord, it's worth it. I've laid my life down to serve. And he was prepared to die for what he believed in. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. He did. Let's go to John 14, 15 to 17, and then 25 and 26. If you love me, you will obey what I command. See, there's an if there. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Isn't that encouraging? That God gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us as a counselor, his wisdom. We're going to get another scripture. There's all these things that God places within us by his Holy Spirit. And it's power, folks. It's power. You realize that you cannot do this in your own strength. You can't witness in your own strength. You're going to fail miserably. You've got to do it in the power of God. So this morning, I'm hoping that that all of us will respond to God. I hope not just the same old 10 folk who always respond every week will be the only ones who respond. Some of you just sit there and you responded, let somebody else respond, got over my head, I'm okay. I don't believe you are okay this morning. I really don't. I think the vast majority of us are probably not okay, if we're honest. Because if we're honest, And if we took the facts into account, we're not actually operating in the power. We say, oh, God's power is in me. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Really? How many people have you told about Jesus in the last year? You know, I was in management for many years. Many of you also are managers. Statistics were our tool for us to make decisions and buying things and expanding the company. And statistics were wonderful tools for us. And I don't believe in the kingdom statistics are unhelpful. I think they're very helpful. And the stats amongst us are showing that we are lacking. We can either feel depressed now, feel bad about it, I'm pathetic, I'm useless, and woe is me. Or we can respond, say, God, here I am. I am pathetic, actually. I am weak, actually. I can't do this without you, Lord. I'm trusting for a fresh touch of God on people's lives who will respond this morning. To the degree that you're hungry and thirsty, it's the degree that God will touch you. Seek me and you will find me. He says that. And I believe you've got to seek God this morning. If you don't seek him, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to miss what God wants to do. I really believe that in all my heart. You've got to come to his feet this morning and say, God, I'm not doing as well as I thought I was doing. I'm not as on fire for you as I thought I was. By my standards, I'm on fire for you, but not according to your standards, not according to your word. Are you all prepared to lose your jobs right now for the sake of the kingdom? Are you? Are you prepared to lose your families, your children? Gee, I've had to weigh that up, eh? Yeah, it's a hard one. Don't read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm too much of a coward to read it. I've read some of it, and the things that people were prepared to do for their king was phenomenal. But I believe every one of us can do that. We always put those guys up there, you know, the Chinese up there. Like they're super people. They're not. They're just ordinary people like you and me. There's nothing special about them. All they do is they just know their God, and they're empowered by him to live a life that glorifies him. I think we've got the power, but we're not using it. We're not fully understanding it. We're not walking in revelation, walking in fear. Whatever your reasons why, I believe God wants to strip that away from us this morning. I really do. This is not an easy preach. It doesn't feel like it's going well at all from my side. No, I'm hitting things in the spirit. We're spirit beings, folks. When you're operating in the spiritual realm, there's all sorts of demonic force that come against you. And so I'm aware of that. I'm very aware that the devil doesn't want me to preach this message. Even as I'm preaching, I'm wondering, what if nobody responds? You know, I couldn't care. It's your problem. It's between you and God. I'm just here to deliver what I feel God's saying. If you don't respond, you walk out the door unchanged. Woe is you. Woe is you. You've missed God. You're not responding to me. Really. I believe God's speaking this morning. I really do. And I believe if there's key moments when God speaks, you cannot afford to miss them. He is the God of second chances, but Moses may not agree with you. He didn't get a second chance. He hit the rock twice. You know, he hit it once. David didn't get a second chance to go and build this temple. God says, you won't go into the promised land. Your son will go. But he loves David. He loves Moses. So you may not get a second chance. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm just giving you what I've seen in Scripture, that it's not always, you don't always get a second opportunity. Sometimes that's it. God says, speak once. If you don't listen, I move on. He's looking for a people right now who will respond to him. He's looking for a people who will respond. And now is the day of salvation. You might not have to get born again. I presume most people will be born again. But now the day of walking in your salvation. The Bible says be filled in Galatians. So I'm going to run out of time. So I'm just going to land it with. Galatians talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's a present and continuous sense. So you are filled with the Holy Spirit, born again. Some people get filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation. They do. I've seen that, where they get full, they start speaking in tongues. At salvation is evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their lives from the get-go. Other people do require a second actual baptism. That's just, we see it in Scripture. We see it in real life. That's how God seems to work. There's no pattern. So you can be born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I need the continuous filling of the Holy Spirit. As I'm walking in him, I say, Lord, just keep filling me, Lord. Driving Russell out, because Russell gets in the way and God gets pushed out. And being filled with the Spirit normally means me getting out the way and allowing God to have full reign in my life. You know, in Acts 5:32 says, God says they give the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Isn't that interesting? Ephesians, can you put up Ephesians 1:17, please? Can I jump around a bit here? Ephesians 1:17, if you please. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And as we know him, it's an intimate knowing. It's an understanding of who he is. We grow in our relationship with him.